Alright, so we'll say good morning. So we're about to begin Megillah Daf Zayin. So today's Daf is Daf Zayin. We're going to start on the bottom of Vav Amud Beis. So again, our shiur this morning is dedicated by the learners in memory of Ari's grandfather, Yosef Ben Yitzchak. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah. And also that unfortunately, we've endured our first casualty in Gaza, so we dedicate our learning this morning to Eitan Barak from Herzliya, 20-year-old young man who was killed this afternoon, in fighting in Gaza. And we hope that his neshama has an aliyah, his family a nechama, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect all of our soldiers as they engage in their holy work. So we left off on Daf Vav Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, the following. 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom, middle of the line. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ushnehem Mikra Echad Dershu. So we'll say, if you remember again, we had a three-way machlokes yesterday about what you do in a situation of Adr Aleph, Adr Beis. So remember again, we left off yesterday saying that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Now remember, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was of the opinion that Lemaisa, you have to go ahead, even if you read the Megillah in Adr Aleph, but then there was a leap year that was declared, you have to go ahead and read it again in Adr Beis. Not only that, Rabbi Shimon was of the opinion that that would be true also with the Dalet Parshios, that if you had read the four supplemental readings in Adar Aleph, you'd have to read in Adar Beis again. So now the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Shnei Mikra Echad Yershu. Both Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, as well as Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, both darshan the same pasuk. B'chol Shana v'Shana, the Megillah says that they went ahead and observed Purim, B'chol Shana u'Shana, each and every year. Each and every year, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, Savar, Bechal Shana, Shana. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi says, what does it mean every single year? Makol Shana v'Shana, Adar HaSamach L'Shvat. Rabbi Yossi, just like every single year, when do we celebrate Purim? We celebrate it in the Adar that is closest to Shvat. Afkan Adar HaSamach L'Shvat. So too, over here, Rabbi Yossi, when you have two Adars, which Adar do you celebrate Purim in? The Adar that is closest to Shvat, which is which Adar? Adar Aleph. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, what does it mean each and every year? Just like each and every year we celebrate Purim in the Adar that is closest to Nisan, so too in a situation of a leap year, we also do it in the Adar closest to Nisan, which is which Adar? Face. Good, excellent. So the Gemara says, Bishlam Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, Mistar B'taymo. So we'll say, I understand Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, who says that you should do everything in Adar Aleph. I understand that. Why? De'ein ma'avirin ala mitzvos. Because also we have a general concept that what? That we don't let mitzvah opportunities pass us by. Ein ma'avirin ala mitzvos. So I understand. Therefore, again, Adar Aleph comes along. You don't want to let the opportunity pass you by. So El Rav Shimon Gamliel, my time. But why did Rabbi Shimon Gamliel tell you to push everything off to Adar Beis? Amar Rabbi Tavi, time to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, mismach geula legeula adif. Because Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's position is that it is good to literally juxtapose one geula to the other. Meaning that the idea is you want to go ahead and always juxtapose Pesach to Purim, or I should say Purim to Pesach. Therefore, in order to do that, we have to observe Purim in the Adar Beis slot. So the Gemara goes weiter. Rabbi Elazar Omer, time with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Mehacham. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel learns out a shita from here. Dichse, Pasuk says, Lekayim es igeres ha-purim Lekayim es igeres ha-purim ha-zos ha-shenis. To go ahead and uphold this letter of Purim, the second one. So we'll say, interestingly enough, if you look at Rashi, he says Hashenis means Bachovdesh Hasheni. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel understands that it actually, that's a reference. Again, that's obviously not Pshuto Shel Mikra. That's not really what the Megillah is talking about. But it's, so to speak, like a scriptural allusion in the Megillah to the fact that sometimes the Purim itself is observed in the Shenis in the second Adar. So we'll say, therefore, it turns out that, remember, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Gamliel Shita is that we read the Megillah in Adar Sheni. And now it turns out that Rav Shimon Gamliel is learning out his Shita from two different sources. Number one, from the phrase, Bichol Shana Vishana, just like in every year we celebrate again Purim in the month that is closest to Pesach, so too again over here in leap year we do the same. And Limud number two is Hashenis. So now the Gemara is going to say, why do you need both? V'itzrech l'michta Bichol Shana, Bichol Shana Vishana. You have to learn it out from Bichol Shana Vishana. Why? De'imi Bichol Shana Ushana. Meaning, because if it just said because shana shana hava amina ki kushyan, I would have raised the questions that we raised before Chabosai, which was in ma'avir nama mitzvos, why would you delay it? Kamash malan hashenis. Therefore, the additional limud of hashenis bolsters our decision to go ahead and do it in Adar Beis. The ashmo in hashenis, and if the pasuk would just say that we observe it in the second, hava amina betchila berishon ubesheni, I would have thought that maybe that means what? That when it says b'sheni, yeah, it means you have to do it when? In the first and in the second. Kamash molan b'chol shana v'shana. Therefore, the Megillah reads, says the pasuk, b'chol shana v'shana, to teach me what? That l'maisa, again, just like in every year I read it once, so to even in a leap year I read it once as well. When is that once? Second Adar. V'Rabbi Elazar, Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, hay hashenis, my avidle. What does Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi do with that word shenis? So mi boyle lichid Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. He needs it for a statement of Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. The Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, b'tchila kavuha b'shushan. Well, this is very interesting, because Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda says that the way Purim evolved as a Yom Tov is in the beginning it was established as a Yom Tov in Shushan, and then only Shenis, then only afterwards was it established as a Yom Tov everywhere else. Okay, quite amazing. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Okay, so Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda was a beautiful Gemara. Shach lehem Esther l'chachamim. Esther sent word to the Chachamim, Kivuni l'doros. Literally, establish me for generations. Says Rashi, what does it mean? Kivuni l'yom tov ulekarye lihios li l'shem. Go ahead and establish this event as a Yom Tov. Great. Literally, establish me for generations. Make this event of Purim into a Yom Tov. Listen to this. I'm sorry? Because reputation sounds too self-serving. Establish my name. Sholchula, so they said to her originally, no, kina at me'oreres lebina umos. You can't do that, because they also remember what happened in the Purim story. In the Purim story is when the Jews beat the nations around them. So we'll say the truth is, generally, the nations of the world do not like that narrative. They could tolerate the Jews when the Jews are meek and weak, but as soon as Jews stand up for themselves, nobody really likes that particular story, as current events clearly indicate. So we'll say, so therefore, it's interesting, they responded to Esther, they said no. They said, you're going to upset the nations if we go ahead and make a Yom Tov about us defeating them. So the Gemara says, so listen to this, Shalcha Lahem, Esther responded to them, Kvar ksuva ani al divrei hayamim lamalchei madai uparas. Don't be concerned. The story is already recorded in the history books of the Persian Median Empire. So meaning they already know the story. V'rav Rabbi Chanin, Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Chaviva, Masni b'kuli seder moi kikol haizuga, Chalufi Rabbi Yochanan, Umayla Rabbi Yonason. So Rav Osai, now the Gemara quotes another statement in the name of another different opinions. Rav Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Chaviva. So the Gemara just adds in, whenever you see this grouping in seder moed, take out Rabbi Yochanan and add in instead Rabbi Yonason. Sholchu lahem Esther l'chachamim. Esther made another request to the Chachamim. Kisvuni l'doros. Literally, write me, for all future generations. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Actually, not yet. No. Kisvuni l'doros means I want you to establish my Megillah as one of the books of Tanakh. I want you to include, write me for all generations. Sholchula. So they said to Esther, well, we're not sure we can. Halokasafti l'cha, shalishim b'mo'itzis v'das. So we'll say, this is a pasuk from Mishlei. Shlom Melech writes, I have written you literally in three. Shlishim v'lo revim. Now Chazal Darshan from here, Rabbi Yosef, what Shlom Melech was saying was that there are three recorded episodes of Amalek. We write down what Amalek did to us three times, but not four. Look at Rashi. Shlishim b'shloshim akamos yeshlon lahaskim l'chamas Amalek. There are three places in which we go ahead and remember the war with Amalek. B'sefer ve'ilishmos. Right? In Shmos. U b'mishnah Torah and in Devarim. U b'sefer Shmuel. And in the book of Shmuel. V'zeu sh'amar Shlomo b'davar shlishaso yet harasha l'ravo. So Shlomo Alech wrote a Mishleh. We have three mentions of what happened with Amalek. And if we were to go ahead and write your story, write the Megillah, that would be a fourth. And seemingly in violation of this Solomonic directive. So the Gemara says, Ad shematzal ha-mikra. Until they found the pasuk that supported writing down Megillah Esther. Ad shematzal ha-mikra. Kasuv b'Torah. Ksov zos zikaron b'sefer. So we'll say the pasuk says, this is again at the end of Parashas B'Shalach, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Ksov zos zikaron b'sefer. Write down this account. Write down what happened with Amalek. Write it down. Write this zikaron as a remembrance b'sefer in the book. So the Gemara darshins. Ksov zos. Write this down. Masha kasov kan ubemishnah Torah. Write down over here what occurred over here, as well as in Sefer Devarim, zikaron, a remembrance. Masha kasov b'neviim, that which is written in the prophets. Sefer Shmuel, b'sefer masha kasov b'megillah. What does it mean? Sefer is a scriptural allusion to Megillas Esther. To which the Gemara says, Kitanoi. In reality, this is machlokes tanoim zos. So had ksov zos, when the pasuk says write this down, mashikasov kan, write down that which is stated here. That's a reference to Shmos. Zikaron, a remembrance, mashikasov mishnah Torah, that which is written in Devarim, basefer, mashikasov b'neviim. Write it down in the Sefer. That's a reference to what happened in Shmuel. We'll say again, the reference to Sefer Shmuel is the reference to the episode with Agag, right? With Shaul and Agag. Very good. Right? That, remember again, Shaul was commanded to go ahead and kill out all of Amalek. He did not do so. He spared the women, the children, the livestock, and the king, and Agag. That's the reference to Sefer Shmuel. Divrei Rabbi Yoshua. So these words are Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Elazar HaModion, Rabbi Elazar HaModi says, Zikaron. What does it mean, Zikaron? Mashikasov b'neviim. I'm sorry, I skipped. Rabbi Elazar HaModi Omer, Ksov Zos, write this, Masha Kasuv Kan, that refers to Shmos, Uba Mishnah Torah, and Mishnah Torah, Zikaron, or remembrance, Masha Kasuv B'Neviim, Sefer Shmuel, Basefer, Masha Kasuv B'Megillah. So we'll say, according to this opinion, again, now obviously, the Torah is not explicitly talking about the Megillah, because obviously the Megillah happened way after the Torah, but the idea is that we find a scriptural allusion that would justify writing the Megillah and including it into Tanakh. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Esther Eina Metames Ha'adayim. So Rabbi Yehuda is the name of Shmuel, that literally Esther does not transmit ritual impurity to one's hands. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Esther Eina Metames Ha'adayim Kishar Sfarim Darim B'Yitziyah Shabbos Shegaz Ralein Metames Ha'adayim L'Truma U'machlogas HaShabbos Hilab. Suppose if you remember again in our Shabbos days, you remember we have this concept that Kisvei Kodesh, writings, literally scrolls, whether they be Sifrei Torah, or remember again in the times of the Gemara, they were writing Chumashim, everything was in scroll form. Is Metami Yadayim. Why? Remember again, we saw in the Gemara, they used to store Truma in the Aron Kodesh, because they said, it makes sense, the Truma is Kadosh, the Torah is Kadosh, let's store one Kadoshai next to another Kadoshai. Beautiful idea, except for what? Except for mice. So what ended up happening? Mice would get into the Aron Kodesh to nibble at the Truma, and they would nibble also at the parchment itself. So Chazal wanted to put a very quick stop to this practice. So they said, you can't go ahead and put Truma in the Aron. But Rabbi was saying, you could tell people all you want. You know, the hardest thing to change is when people say what? People say, this is the way we've done it. Right? It's backward, it doesn't make sense. It's 50 years old, it's anachronistic, it doesn't the tradition, right? This is the way we are. I'm sorry? So sometimes you do that, but that's when it makes sense, right? So again, so what did Chazal say? So you could tell people not to do it, it's not gonna make a difference. So what they did was like this. They said, well, the truth is, if you touch a sefer, your hands become tamei. Rabbi say, if you touch truma with tamei hands, then what happens? You can't eat it. So the greatest way to get the truma out of the aron is to threaten people with the risk of spiritual disqualification of the truma. So you can imagine that got the truma out of there pretty quickly. So the Gemara is saying over here, Rabbi saying to Shmuel, that Esther is not metamei se'adai. Megillas Esther is not metamei. So what does that mean? What that seems to indicate to us is that l'maisa, it's not part of Tanakh. It's not part of the Sfarim. It's not part of the books of Tanakh. L'meimra, the Sefer Shmuel, Esther, L'Aburach, HaKodesh, Nemra, the Rabbos say, truth is, let me take that back. Actually, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is what that really means is that Esther was not written Baruch HaKodesh. It was not written with the spirit of prophecy. We'll see, a book could be part of Tanakh even if it's not written with prophecy. But the idea over here is that clearly the fact that it's not Metamorphosis, that means it wasn't written with prophecy. I have a Hamar Shmuel, but Shmuel said Esther Baruch HaKodesh Nemra. But Shmuel said that Esther was written Baruch HaKodesh. We'll see why Esther was written Baruch HaKodesh in just a little bit. To which the Gemara answers, Ne'emra Likros, velo Ne'emra Lichtov. It could be that Megillas Esther was given over to be recited, but lav dafka to be written down and actually included in Tanakh. So the Gemara says, Meisvi reis akasha. Rabbi Meir says, Koheles eino metameh esayadayim. Rabbi Meir says that Koheles does not convey Tumah. And I will say the logic behind that would be what? Because apparently you'd have to say that Koheles was not written Baruch HaKodesh. Koheles is just the Chachmas, the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech. Umachlokis b'shir ha-shirim. There's a machlokis if shir ha-shirim is metameh se'adayim. Rabbi Yossi says, Shira Shir Metameh Se'adayim Umachlokis B'Koheles. So we'll say Rabbi Yossi says just the opposite. He says Shira Shir is Metameh Se'adayim and Koheles, there's a Machlokis. Reb Shimon says Koheles Mikuli Beis Shammai Chorim Beis Hillel. Reb Shimon says that Koheles represents some of the leniencies of Beis Shammai and the stringencies of Beis Hillel. Aval Rus V'shira shirim v'ester metamen es hayadayim. But Rabbi say, what does everybody agree with? Everyone agrees that Megillas Rus, shira shirim, and Esther, everyone agrees that those were written Baruch HaKodesh. They're part of Sifrei Tanakh, and therefore what? They are metame es hayadayim. They are metame es hayadayim. So we'll say, interesting, the way the Gemara ends off, by the way, is the only machlokes is about Koheles. Was Koheles written Baruch HaKodesh or not? To which the Gemara says, Hu da'amak Rabbi Yoshua. So the Gemara essentially answers that we see it's a machlokes tanaim, Rabbosai. That lemaisa, at the end of the day, it's a machlokes as to whether or not Esther was written Baruch HaKodesh. This brisa clearly subscribes to the idea that yes, but there is also the other opinion that still says it was not. Tanya. Reb Shem Manasseh says, Koheles in metameh se'adayim. Koheles does not convey Tumah. Why? Mipnei shechachmaso shel Shlomahi. Because Rabbi say, it's not Ruach HaKodesh, it's the wisdom of Shlomo. Amru lo, v'chizo bilvad amar. Now Rabbi say, the problem with saying that is that it makes it sound like then Koheles is the sum total of Solomonic wisdom. But is that true? Is that all that Shlomo said? V'halo kvar ne'emar v'yedaber Shloshes alofim mashal. Also, listen to this. Shlomo HaMelech spoke out 3,000 parables. Va'omer al tosef al dvarav. And yet, the pasuk says in Mishlei, do not go ahead and add on to his words. My va'omer, what does it mean, va'omer? So we'll say, what's interesting about this is the following. So the Gemara suggests now that Koheles was not written Baruch HaKodesh. Here's the problem with that, is that Shlomo HaMelech wrote so many pieces of wisdom. Yet, for some reason, some of them were included in Koheles, and others were not. So the logical understanding of what was included in Koheles and what was not is what? What Ruach HaKodesh. That would seem to be the logical, because otherwise, again, there's so much more Solomonic wisdom that could have been included. And again, also it says in Mishlei that don't add on to what I've written, don't write out, which seems to indicate there's been Ruach HaKodesh. The Gemara says, Maiva Omer, V'chiteima Meimar Tuma Avar Amar Di'i Bai Ichtav V'di'i Bai Lo Ichtav. You might have thought that what? That when it comes to Solomonic wisdom, if you wanted to add on more of Shlomo HaMelech's Mashalim, that you'd have the ability to do so. Tashma al Tosef al Dvarav. Therefore, the pasuk says, do not add on to his words, which mostly would seem to point in the direction that Koheles was in fact written Baruch HaKodesh. But again, this machlokes still stands. So it seems to be by everything else, pretty much almost everyone is on the same page. Rus, Shira Shirim, Esther, all written Baruch HaKodesh, therefore all metamen se'adayim, all included in Tanakh. Koheles, still a standing machlokes. What is that, just Solomonic wisdom, or was it actually written Baruch HaKodesh? Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi said, that's very interesting. So now Rabbi said, we're going to try to prove that Megillas Esther was written Baruch HaKodesh. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Esther Baruch HaKodesh Nemra. Esther was in Beracha Kodesh. How do we know that? Shine Emar, Vayomer Haman Belibo. Because what does the Megillah say? And Haman said in his heart. The Rabbah say, nobody knows what Haman said in his heart or didn't say in his heart. Therefore what? It must be that it was written in Beracha HaKodesh. Next, Rabbi Kiva says, Esther Beracha HaKodesh Nemra. Esther was written in Beracha HaKodesh. How do we know that? Vati Esther nosa'as chen be'enei kol ro'eha. Esther found favor in the eyes of all who saw her. The Rabbah say, obviously, again, there's no way for her to know that, except what? Except with Beracha HaKodesh. Rabbi Meir says, Esther Beracha HaKodesh Nemra. Esther was written in Beracha HaKodesh. How do we know that? Shine Emar. Vayivada hadavar leMordechai. I will say this is by Bigton Viteresh, or Big Son Viseresh. Right? That ultimately, again, Mordechai found out about their plan to go ahead and kill Achashverosh. So how did that become known to Mordechai? How would he have known that if not again for Beracha HaKodesh? Rabbi Yossi ben Dormaskis says, Esther Beracha HaKodesh Nemra, Esther was in Beracha HaKodesh, how do we know? Shana Emar, Ubabiza lo sholchu es yadam. Because Rabbi Yossi, the Megillah says that after the Jews waged war, they did not take any of the spoils. Now remember, again, war was waged all over Achashverosh's kingdom. There is no way to have known what was happening in far-flung areas of the kingdom unless there was what? Unless there was Beracha HaKodesh. Shmuel, Amr Shmuel. So Shmuel says like this, Ihavi Hasan. I will say, obviously, Shmuel is not a contemporary of all the rabbis we just mentioned. Shmuel lived later. So Shmuel says, Ihavi Hasan. If I was there and part of this conversation, Hava Amina, I would have said, Hava Amina, Milsa de Adifa Mikulu. I would have said something better than all of them. Meaning that I would have given a better raya that Esther was written in Beracha HaKodesh. What would have been the raya? Shene Emar, Kimu v'kiblu. Because the Megillah says that literally, Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim alehem va'al zaram. The Jews, the context of the pasuk is the Jews literally upheld and accepted upon themselves to celebrate this Yom Tov of Purim. But Shmuel Darshan's Kimu lemala, they upheld, they established above, Mashekiblu lemata, that which they accepted below. Meaning that in Shamayim, they agreed with the institutionalization of the Yom Tov of Purim. So Shmuel says, that is the greatest raya, that Megillas Esther was written Beracha HaKodesh, because how else would anyone know what was indeed accepted above? Amar Rava, so Rava says, interestingly enough, Lukulu Islu Pircha Labar Mishmuel. So Rava says, in reality, all of the other proofs to that Esther was written Beracha HaKodesh, all of them could be disproven except for Shmuel's. The last Lupircha, why Rabbi said, I think Gemara is going to go through them again one by one and show how they could be disproven. The Rabbi Eliezer, remember, what did Rabbi Eliezer say? Rabbi Eliezer quoted the one, Vayomer Haman Baliba. And Rabbi said, just understand the context. The context over there, that's where the king couldn't sleep. And remember again, he takes out his book of remembrances. He realizes that he never rewarded Mordechai. He calls Haman in and he says to Haman, What should we do? What should we do for the person to whom the king has incredible gratitude? So that's the Megillah. It says, Vayomer Haman Belibo. Haman said in his heart, what was the pasuk? Vayomer Haman Belibo. Good. Lemiach potz amelech lasos yikar yoser mimeni. It must be talking about me. So Rabbi Eliezer said, oh, you see from here that what? Esther was written Beracha HaKodesh, because how else would we know what Haman was saying in his heart? To which the Gemara says, no, not really. The Rabbi Eliezer svarahu, de lo hava inish techashe lemalko kavaseh, vaha ki mafish tu vava amar adaite din afshek amar. Rabbi Eliezer says, it's quite possible the narrator understood from Haman's response, that you should give, the king should give him his clothing, and he should ride on the king's horse. It's clear from his response that what? That who was he assuming the king was talking about? Him. So therefore, again, from his response, from essentially what the Gemara is saying is, from Haman's response, we know what he was thinking. Therefore, that is not a raya that the Megillah is in Beracha HaKodesh. Next, to Rabbi Akiva. What did Rabbi Akiva say? Rabbi Akiva was the one who said, Vati Esther nosas chin be'enei kol ro'eha, that Esther found favor in the eyes of all those who saw her. So Rabbi Akiva said, oh, it's right that Megillah was written Beracha HaKodesh. Dilma, ki Rabbi Elazar d'amar, melamid shekol echad ve'echad nidmasa lo ki'umasa. It's not true. You know what it means? It means that when Esther would walk by people, so she would hear people comment that they felt like she was one of them. So this was not something that people were thinking. It was what? Something that people were actually saying. Not a raya. V'had Rabbi Meir. What about Rabbi Meir? Remember, Rabbi Meir was the one who said, Vayivad hadavar leMordechai. Mordechai found out about the plan of Big Son Viseresh. Father Meir, Dilma Krabi Chibar Abba. The Amar, Big Son Viseresh, Shnei Tarshim Hayu. So Big Son Viteresh were Tarshim. Tarshim was a place. They were from Tarshish or Tarshi. Therefore, again, Rashi points out, it's actually the Medrash points out, that they were speaking in their Tarshi tongue because they assumed that no one understood. Mordechai was a member of the Sanhedrin, and therefore what? Therefore spoke 70 languages and actually understood Tarshi. He spoke Tarshi, therefore, again, that's how he knew what Big Son and Seresh were planning to do. Next, V'had Rabbi Yossi bar Damascus. What about Rabbi Yossi bar Damascus? He's the one who said, Uba biza lo shalchu yodam, that the Jews did not take any of the spoils. And how the only way they would know that about what was happening in the far-flung areas of Achashverosh's kingdom would be if what? Would be the mice if there was Ruach HaKodesh. Dilma Prisatki Shador. Maybe there were messengers that were sent. Right? It could be that there were messengers sent to Esther Malka from all corners of the kingdom to tell that they did not take the spoils. And therefore, Dishmuel Vadai Les Lepircha. Therefore, I will say at the end of the day, the only raya that really stands is the raya of Shmuel of Kimu Vikiblu. That does not have a pircha. And I will say, obviously, none of these are ironclad. I would actually think that Kimu Vikiblu, to me, when I look at it, is actually the one that seems the weakest. Mm-hmm. Because the other ones at least point to circumstances in the Megillah. But again, as we've seen, they could all be disproven. But Shmuel seems to be the raya. Kimu Vikiblu, they accepted above what we declared below. That's the raya that it was written Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Amar Avina, Hainu Da Armi Inshi, I'll say, listen to this. So what the Gemara is picking up on is here you had Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Kiv, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi Bar Damascus. All of them advancing good rayas, all of them disproven, and Shmuel coming along and advancing rayas. So therefore, the Gemara of Ravina says, this is what people say. Both say, this is actually a good adage. The Amri Inshi, Tava Chada Pilpalta Charifta. One sharp pepper is better, Mimali Tsani Kari, from a basket of melons. Good, like a bumper sticker, right? One sharp pepper is better than a basket of melons. We'll say, what's the chap over there? So the melons are, meaning one sharp pepper could infuse more taste than a whole basket of blander melons. Okay, so Shmuel is the sharp pepper. The other rabbis, in this case, are the bland melons. And therefore, again, I've been called worse. You should just know, and just in general. So the Gemara says the following: Rav Yosef says from here, "V'yemei Purim ha'elu lo ya'avru mitoch ha'yehudim." So Rav Yosef says from here that here's another raya that ultimately, again, Esther was written Baruch HaKodesh because the Megillah says these days shall not pass from the Jews, meaning that the Jews will always celebrate the Yom Tov of Purim. So how can you make such a statement like that for all eternity? That must be because of Ruach HaKodesh. Rav Nachman says from here, V'zichram lo yosef mizaram. Their remembrance will never be forgotten from their descendants. So whenever you make such eternal statements could only be made how? If one is writing Baruch HaKodesh. Okay. Umatonos Levyonim. So now we're going to get into a little bit of halacha. So on Purim, you also have to go ahead and send Matonos Levyonim, gifts to the poor. So Tani Rav Yosef, you have to send gifts, literally portions, one man to his fellow. What is the halacha? Shtei manos li'ish echad. How do you discharge the mitzvah of mishloach manos on Purim? You have to send two portions to one individual. That is halacha l'maisa. Look at Rashi. Shtei manos la'adam echad, d'chsiv u'mishloach manos. And again, it's based on the pasuk. Because manos is plural. Re'ehu is singular. You have to send matanos ish re'ehu. Two portions. And again, we know we define two portions as a ready to eat. Well, actually, we'll see in the Gemara. So shtei manos ish re'ehu, matanos levyonim, gifts to the poor. So we'll say there, into the what do you have? Matanos is plural. And le'evyonim is plural. What do we learn from that? Shtei matanos l'shnei b'nei adam. Two gifts to two people, i.e. one gift per person for two people. So these are the, so again, mashloach manos teaches me, again, two food portions to one person. Matanos le'evyonim, two parcels of tzedakah to two people, one to each. So listen, you might tell us a couple of stories here. Who's going to see a shadow later, Rabbi Oshia? Atama di igla tilsa v'garba di chamar. We'll say, listen, now this is a shalach manos. Rabbi Udinasiya sent Rabbi Oshia the thigh of a third-born calf. Now, apparently, again, a third-born calf has the tenderest meat. So he sent mamish, like a leg of a calf. A leg of a calf together with a bottle of wine. This is what Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya seen. Everybody's looking for a theme. Forget about a theme, right? Send a leg of a calf with a bottle of wine. That's shalach manos. The Chamra, so he sent him again, Atma, the Iglatilsa, the thigh of a third-born calf, the Garba, the Chamra. Shalach Lei, he sent him, I so remember this, Rabbi, who didn't see a saying, Rabbi Oshia. Rabbi Oshia sent word back, Kiyamta Bano Rabbeinu, Umishlach Manos Ishrayehu, Umat Honos Le'evyonim. So I say, amazingly enough, so Rabbi Oshia, who was destitute, sent back to Rabbi Huda Nesia, you've been Mekayim in me, not just Mishlach Manos, but also what? Also Matanos Le'evyonim. Which was supposed to be very interesting. That apparently what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that technically speaking, you can actually discharge both of these obligations simultaneously. That if you give Mishlach Manos to a poor person, that Lemaisa, again, you could technically... Now, we're knowing to do it as two separate mitzvos. You could give both to the same person, but we'd sooner give them both Mishlach Manos and Matanos Le'evyonim. But it seems he technically... that Lamais, you could discharge both in one. Both of the other important piece that comes out from this also is what? That you see that Mishloach Manos has to be two items of two different brachas. That's also, this is the makar for that. That he sent him a piece of meat and a bottle of wine. So the Mar goes weiter. Rabba Shadulei Lamar, well, says amazing. I'm sorry? He's saying you discharged part, correct? You discharged part of your Matanos Levionim. So the Mar says, fine. What he's saying is you've been Mekayim in me. In me, this act of giving to me is both a din of Mishloach Manos and Matanos Le'evyonim. Rabba Shadlai Lamari Bar Mar, Biyad Abayi, so both say, Rabba sent to Mari Bar Mar through an agent, through Abayi, both say, it's a different discussion, that there are some who are makbid, that Mishloach Manos has to take place through a shaliach, through an agent, because of the Lashon of Mishloach, which also is Lashon Shaliach. So, not a topic for today, but it's just interesting. So, Rabba sent Mishloach Manos to Mari, the son of Mar, and Abayi was the shaliach. So, what did he send him? Mole Taska de Kashva, Umole Kasa Kimcha de Ashuna. He sent him a basket full of dates, and a cup filled with roasted flour. Roasted flour, flour from roasted wheat. Okay, look at Rashi. Taska de kasha, sak mali tamar, a sack filled with dates. Dav shuna shenis yashua chitim etanar ba'odin karmel. V'kemach shalahen masok li'olam. So apparently, again, when you go ahead and you make flour from roasted wheat, that flour is sweet. So he sent him sweet flour and dates. So listen to this, Rabbi Osai. So Amalei Abaye. So Abaye says to Rabba, hashta amri mar, you know, people say, hashta amri mari, Ichak lo amalka, if the farmer becomes a king, lehave dikula mitzavare lo nachis, does he not remove literally the basket from around his neck? Then I will say, now what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Ichak lo amalka lehave dikula mitzavare lo nachis, hasal shay ragila holich baodenu ben kfar, the basket you used to wear around your neck when you were just a simple villager, umaachil behemto, it's like a feed bag for the animals. Do you not take that off? Lo yorit ata mirosho, kach ata naasis melech verosh pepum padisa, ve'in chashaleach lo ela dvarm hamutsuyin lakol. Listen to this. Rabba was the Rosh Hashiva in Pumpadisa. Rabba was a regular guy, regular person, became a Rosh Hashiva. Abayi says, you know, there's a famous adage. What's the famous adage? People say that, you know, when the farmer becomes king, make sure to take the feed bag off your neck before you go to the palace. What he was saying to Rabba was essentially, this is what you're sending a Shalach Manos, right? This would have been fine when you were a farmer. I always say, by the way, in some of these Gemaras, you know, there's such an amazing lesson. You know, sometimes you just have to say things the way we are. You know, we live in such a politically correct society that you always have to be so careful what you say. And it is, it's important to be careful with what you say. But, you know, sometimes there's such a hypersensitivity. You have to say it like this, because if you say it like this, it's going to that, and it's going to this. And what ends up happening is you water down your message to such a point that the truth is people often have no idea what it is that you're really trying to say. Sometimes, especially if you care about someone, you just have to say it like it is. And as long as they know that you're genuine in what you're saying, they'll be receptive to it. So Abaye, you can imagine, so Abaye is Rabbi Shaliach. He gets this basket full of dates and this thing of roasted flour. He says, really? Really? Like this is what you're sending? You are the Rosh Hashiva of Pumpadisa. You are a person of standing. This would have been fine when you were a simple farmer. But this is not what you send if you are the Rosh Hashiva of Pumpadisa. So Hadir Shadrle Ihu Malaitaska de Zangvila U Malaikasa de Papalas Arichta. So I'll say, so listen to this. So what happened? So apparently, interestingly enough, Rabba still sent it. So that's the funny part. So Abai gives him the Musar, but Rabba apparently still sent it. And I will say it could be that Rabba had his cheshbonis for different reasons. So what happened? Now Mari, the son of Mar, sends back Shalach Manas to Rabbah, again with Abaye. And what does he send back? Hadar shalach le'ihu, malaytaska de zangvili, sent a basket full of ginger, o malaykasa de pilpalta arichta, and a cup filled with long peppers. A very nice shalach manas. So Abaye apparently is like the shalach manas critic. So Abaye says, hashta amar mar, really, Murray, this is what you're sending back? This is what you're sending back to Rabbah? What's Rabbah going to say? Ana shadrili chuya, ve'ihu shadrili churfa. I sent Murray sweet things. Because remember, the dates are sweet, the roasted flowers are sweet. Ginger has a sharper taste, as so do the peppers. So I sent him sweet things, and he sends me back. He sends me back sharp things. So I think the Mefarshim bring down, this is the last time anyone has to buy to deliver Shalach Manas. Right? So the Gemara goes right there. Amar Abaye, ki nafka mi beimar. So we'll listen to this. Abaye says, now we'll say, now once the Gemara started talking about Abaye, so the Gemara tells another, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, ki nafka mi beimar, when I left the house of my Rebbe, Rashi says over, ki nafka mi beimar, ki sheyatzase mi beis Adoni Rabba, leilech lebeis Abba Mori Barmar, hayisi sava. So we'll say, when I left the house of my Rebbe, now it's interesting, when I left the house of my Rebbe, so Hava Savana, I was exceptionally full. Now I will say this seems to be related to the reference to the story we just said before. So Abaye was leaving the house of Rabbah and he was going to the house of Mari Barav. So when I left the house of my Rebbe, I was absolutely full. Kimatoi Lahasam, when I got to the house of Mari Bar Mar, Karivu li shisin tsoi to shisin mine kedera. They brought before me 60 different dishes of 60 types of cooked food, meaning incredible hachnasas arachim. They brought me all this food. Va'achli buhu, and Abaye says, I have to be a good guest. Va'achli buhu, shisin plugi. And I ate one portion from each of the things that they, one piece from each of the things that they brought out. Well, so listen to this. Obishula basraisa. But the last thing they brought out, havu kari leit tzli kedar. They call it, we would translate tzli kedar today as pot roast. They brought out this pot roast, ubai lemechas tsa abasra. And it was so good that I was literally ready to eat the plate after it. Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, Hainu da Amri Inche, this is what people say, Kafin Anya, v'loyadin. I'm about to say, what's the point of this story? And here's what's amazing, Abaye himself was very poor. It was very poor. So this is what they say, that sometimes the poor person doesn't even realize how hungry he is. And they will say, what happens? A person Nebuch is suffering from poverty. So a person lives in a certain state. So Lamai said, they're not even aware of all the circumstances surrounding their poverty. But then when they have the opportunity to have something nice, suddenly again, their poverty becomes even more pronounced. Furthermore, Inam, the other little thing we learn from here, Rav Chalibasim HaShchiach. There's always room for something sweet. So apparently, again, the pot roast, the way they made it, was a little bit of a sweeter meat. So the mice, you see that even if a person feels their full, there's always room for something sweeter. Okay. Abaye bar Avin, Rabbi Chanina bar Avin, machlefi su dasayu lahadadi. I will say, Abaye bar Avin and Rabbi Chanina bar Avin would often literally switch off having Purim Su'udah with one another. Rashi says over here, so we'll say they would switch off year to year having their Purim Suda. So the Rush and others explain that what this Gemara is coming to teach you is the idea is not to have Purim Suda alone. So therefore, again, they would be makpid each and every year to have Purim Suda together, and they would just switch off locations. Now the Gemara tells over the famous episode. Rav says a person is obligated to become intoxicated on Purim until he does not know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed. It is Mordechai. Rabbah Rabbi Zera avru avdu su'udas Purim b'hadi adadi. So we'll say Rabbah and Rabbi Zera had made Purim su'uda together. If some they got drunk. We'll say, so now again, Rabbah and Rabbi Zera are having Purim su'uda together. So what happens? If some they got drunk, come Rabbah shachtel Rabbi Zera. Rabbah got up and again killed Rabbi Zera. Now we'll say the Marsha comments over here that killed doesn't literally mean killed. Killed means that he forced him to drink a lot, probably until he was close to having alcohol poisoning, until he was deathly ill. So the point is, Rabbah, however you understand, literal interpretation, not literal interpretation, what happened? Lemachar, when the next day when the effects of the wine wore off, boy rachamim, so Rabbah davened for compassion, va'achyeh, and he brought Rabbi Zira back to life or healed him, whichever one. Lashana, next year, Amarle, Nesi Marvina Avisudas Purim Bahadi Adadi. So Rabbah approaches Rabbi Zira, so I have a great idea. What are you doing for Purim? Right? What are you doing for him? You know, maybe we'll go ahead and we'll have Purim Suda together. So Rabbi Zira says, thanks a lot, but Amarle, Lo Bechal Shaita Shaita Misrachesh Nisa. You know what? miracles don't happen all of the time. So I appreciate the sentiment. How about we'll just send each other shalach manas? We'll call it even, and that's it. Amar Rava, sudas perm shachla b'layla yotzdei chavasa. We'll say if you eat perm su that night, you have not fulfilled your obligation. My time, why is that? And let's talk about on the night of Purim. If you eat your su the night of Purim, you have not fulfilled your obligation. Why not? My time, you may mishta v'simcha ksir, because the pasuk says in the Megillah, there are days of Mishta and Simcha, which means it dafka has to be by day. Rav Ashi Hava Yosef Kameid Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi was sitting in the base medrash before Rav Kahana. Naga, it became, this is on Purim day itself. The Naga, it was getting dark. Velo Asur Rabbanon, and the rabbis still did not come to the base medrash. Amarli Rav Ashi said, my time alo Asur Rabbanon. Why have the rabbis not come to the base medrash? Dilmi tree the besudas Purim. So maybe they're still involved with Purim Suda. Amarli, he responded, Velo Hava Efshal Lamechla Ba'arta. Why couldn't they eat the Purim Suda the previous night, the night of Purim? Amarlei, lo shmiya leimar, has the master not heard? Had amar Rava, that which Rava said, Suda as Purim sha'achla balayla lo yatze dechavaso. Have you not heard what Rava said, that you are not permitted to go out and do the Purim Suda at night? It must be done by day. Amarlei, amar Rava, he said to him, did Rava really say this? Amarlein, he said, yes. Tanamine arba'in zimnin. He learned that they repeated that ruling 40 times. V'dami le'kaman demancha b'kise. And in order that Rav Ashi would know that this learning, this teaching was literally firmly embedded in his pocket. So they chazered it over and over and over in order that Rav Ashi would be confident that he indeed knew the halacha. Let's at least begin the Mishnah. Ein ben yom tov l'shabbos ela ochal nefesh bilvad. Rav Ashi said there is no distinction between yom tov and Shabbos except for ochal nefesh, meaning that l'maise yom tov is the same as Shabbos in every way, except that what? On Yom Tov, you're permitted to engage in food preparation activities, but on Shabbos, you may not. But Rabosa, are you telling me then that for Machshir Ochal Nefesh, Rabosa, Machshir Ochal Nefesh are preparatory activities that allow you to ultimately engage in food preparation. For example, classic is, let's say again, Shchita is called Ochal Nefesh, sharpening the knife, it's called Machshire Ochal Nefesh. So are you telling me then that for also Machshire Ochal Nefesh, you cannot do those on Yom Tov as well, bless you? So the Gemara says, Maslisin lok Rabbi Huda. Our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Huda, because what does Rabbi Huda say? This Sanya, Ein ben Yom Tov l'Shabbos ela Ochal Nefesh. There is no distinction between Yom Tov and Shabbos except for Ochal Nefesh. Rabbi Huda matir, af Machshire Ochal Nefesh. Rabbi Huda allows even for food preparation activities, or even for preparatory activities, to allow you to engage in Ochal Nefesh. My time in Tanakam. So we'll say, again, our Mishnah would seemingly not reflect this view. What is the reason for the Tanakam? Amakra, the Pasuk says, Hu v'lo machshirav. Because the Pasuk says that you're allowed to go at, the Pasuk Dafka says, ach asher yachal ochal nefesh, that which may be eaten by all person, people, hu levado yaseh lechem, only that may be done. Hu, only ochal nefesh v'lo machshirav, and not machshirin. Rabbi Huda says, lochem, the Pasuk says you could do whatever you need to do for yourselves on Yom Tov, l'chol tzarcheichem, for anything you need, even machshirin. V'idach nami haksiv lachem, what does the other opinion do with the word lachem? Lachem v'lo lo ovdei kochav, that teaches us that you're allowed on Yom Tov to do things for you, but not for Gentiles. Lachem below the klavim. You could do things for you, but not for your animals. The idach nami, the other opinion will say, haksiv hu. What about the word hu? Ksiv hu uksiv lachem. It says hu, that you could do whatever you need for you, and it says lachem, whatever you can do for you. Kan b'machshirin shef shalasos me'erev yom tov, kan machshirin shef shalasos me'erev yom tov. The rabbi say, halacha l'mais, we make a distinction between machshirin. Machshiri ochal nefesh, that can be done before yom tov, must be done before yom tov, and may not be done on yom tov itself. But again, machshirin that cannot be done before Yom Tov can be done on Yom Tov itself. So we'll stop over here. But halacha l'maaseh, you just learned that sugya. The way we paskin is that halacha l'maaseh, we paskin like this latest opinion. That normally we say machshiri ochal nefesh, preparatory activities that will allow you to engage in ochal nefesh, we tell you to do that before Yom Tov. So for example, sharpen your knife before Yom Tov. Go ahead and make your fire before Yom Tov. But machshire, preparatory activities that could not have been done before Yom Tov, you are permitted to do on Yom Tov itself. So for example, let's say if you sharpen your knife, but then the knife fell and it got nicked and it needs to be resharpened on Yom Tov, you are permitted to do that on Yom Tov, because again, that could not have been done before Yom Tov. So we'll stop over here. We pick up tomorrow afternoon. Just consult the bulletin for the time.